So virtually every week we talk about the surge in Afghanistan and the withdrawal in Iraq as though we're adjusting the water level in a bathtub or something, but it's much more complicated than that. Most of the materiel that's going to Afghanistan will come from Iraq, and the challenges are reported in a story where the byline Joint Base Balad, Iraq. The co-author of the piece is Stephen Farrell of the New York Times, who's already working on his next story. He joins us from Jerusalem. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
Stephen, I notice in the first sentence of this story, there's an acronym. Early this year, quote, a FOB in a box, F-O-B, forward operating base in a box, military slang for 80 shipping containers, was put on trucks here for the trip from one war to another. Do you have a problem with the style people there at the New York Times putting that right in the first sentence?
Well, I think the initials and acronyms are beloved of the U.S. military, so who am I to argue? The 40 forward operating box, base in a box, by moving it to the space is effectively what is happening.
And we should just let's take a look at the details. FOB in a box, a forward operating base in a box, is 80 shipping containers. It has tents, showers, construction materials, and that's just one tiny part of what has to get moved from Iraq to Afghanistan and what you've described in your story as the largest move of military materiel since World War II. Public Affairs Officer for the Third Army, Colonel Jerry O'Hara, joins us now. How challenging is this? Have you ever done anything like this before?
Not recently in modern military history. You might be able to draw some parallels back to World War II. But, you know, we're drawing down and building up still under combat conditions. So we say it's unprecedented in modern military history.
Colonel Jerry O'Hara is Public Affairs Officer for the Third Army. Have you seen Stephen Farrell's report in the Times? I mean, he really describes this as an absolutely huge effort. And it's not simply like FedExing from, you know, New York to Scranton. You're going from one really rugged place, and you're in Kuwait right now, to an even more rugged place, Afghanistan. What are the challenges?
Well, of course I read Stephen's article. And the challenges are one, it is under combat conditions. Two, the enemy and Mother Nature certainly have a vote. Three, we want to ensure that we maximize soldiers' boots-on-the-ground time, that they are not waiting for their equipment, their supplies, their facilities they need to conduct their mission. When they hit the ground, they hit the ground running, and they're able to conduct their operation.
Colonel O'Hara, everybody talks about logistics in a war as being really the lifeline for soldiers. And Stephen Farrell's now back with us, New York Times reporter. Stephen, I was struck in reading your story that this supply chain potentially is vulnerable to attack. How are you able to calculate that?
Well, I don't think there's any secret about that. I mean, everything is moving either back to the States or on to Afghanistan. And certainly the logisticians and planners we were speaking to said that, you know, the bottlenecks in Afghanistan are the bottlenecks that have been in Afghanistan for thousands of years. You know, there are valleys. There are gorges, there are long, long ground lines of communication through into Afghanistan, and it's no secret to anybody that that vehicles are being attacked and that convoys have been attacked on a near daily basis in Afghanistan, certainly over the past few years. So the vulnerability is there, and even in Iraq, although things are calmer than they have been, for men and material coming out, certainly coming out by road, they're still under attack, albeit much, much, much less than they were before. And if those attacks were to increase, then they would have to look again at the amount of security protecting those convoys out of Iraq.
Indeed. You're listening to the voice of Stephen Farrell, reporter for the New York Times, talking about the logistical challenge of shifting military materiel from Iraq to Afghanistan, perhaps as challenging as any move that's been made since World War II. Colonel Jerry O'Hara, Public Affairs Officer for the Third Army, how would you assess this vulnerability? And broadly speaking, do you have to make deals with, like, Soviet rail line operators and, you know, guys with trucks on the border to get this stuff in place?
Well, you conduct planning to take into account possible enemy activity. You have redundant means of supply lines. You have area and convoy coverage. And then you plan a certain overage to account for potential enemy activity. But in every military operation, you have to account for potential enemy activity.
In terms of the numbers here, is it easier to transport human beings, soldiers, and support troops, or is it easier to transport inanimate logistical supplies?
Is that a question?
Go ahead, Colonel. Yeah.
Of course it's easier to transport supplies. You don't have to worry about their well-being. They don't have to have any creature comforts. There's no challenges. If we lose a truck, we could replace a truck. You can't do that with a soldier.
Well, that's certainly the case, although the equipment can't walk itself into position, that's for sure. But I absolutely take your point. Colonel Jerry O'Hara is Public Affairs Officer for the Third Army, talking in very blunt terms about the challenges he faces moving military materiel from Iraq to Afghanistan. Stephen Farrell, what are the sort of unlikely either deals or kinds of things that are being moved that surprised you in reporting this story?
Well, I think you have to stand dockside at Shuaiba, Port Shuaiba in Kuwait, to see just the sheer scale of this operation. The vast, vast amount of men and material being moved out. And I think once you do that and you talk to commanders there, you realize, and they're certainly quite open about the fact that this isn't all being done by military transport vehicles. It's being done by commercial convoy. And I stood and watched as American soldiers helped private contractors load shipping containers onto lorries that were headed south to Kuwait and then out through Iraq to Jordan. And then there were other ones at other times heading north, looping around into Afghanistan. So, yes, the short answer is, of course, deals are being done on a huge, huge scale with private commercial carriers.
Well, it's a fascinating story, and you can see it in the New York Times. Our partner, the New York Times, published the story by Stephen Farrell and Elizabeth Viewmiller. He also runs the paper's At War blog, which we'll link to our website, talking about the move from Iraq to Afghanistan. Coming up on the show, small tech on this Thursday, the Apple iPad and the early adopters who will buy it.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.